Bob Dylan is no doubt one of the most influential songwriters of our time. But was he a song thief? Well, my sources say no, but we'll actually sink into that a little bit later in today's show. First, I want to look at six songs off of Bob Dylan's very first album, released on March 19th, 1962, to see where Bob Dylan drew his inspiration. So let's do this in a countdown fashion. Let's start off with number six. And yes, that artist is Woody Guthrie. Bob Dylan was quite simply a huge Woody Guthrie fan. In fact, to the degree that he even went out to New York to visit Woody Guthrie. And to add to that coolness, he also wrote a song dedicated to Woody Guthrie entitled Song to Woody. Now, here's an interesting thing. The melody from Song to Woody was lifted directly from Woody Guthrie's song 1913 Massacre. Now, if you don't believe me, that's okay, but I have proof. Here's Woody Guthrie singing 1913 Massacre.
I'll take you in a door and up a high stairs. Singing and dancing is heard everywhere. I'll let you shake hands with the people you see and watch the kids dance round the big Christmas tree. You ask about work and you ask about pay. They'll tell you they make less than a dollar a day. Working their corporate claim, risking their lives. So it's fun to spend Christmas with children and wives.
Those melodies are pretty much identical, and it begs the question, did Woody Guthrie, or rather, did Bob Dylan lift that melody and use it as a dedication to Woody Guthrie? Or did Bob Dylan say, hey, that's just a darn good melody. I'm going to go ahead and swipe it and use it for my own. I think it was a dedication, but I'll let you decide in the comments below. Let's move on to the next song that we can source some Bob Dylan inspiration from, or rather we can source who inspired Bob Dylan, and that is Highway 51 Blues, originally written by Curtis Jones. Who's Curtis Jones? Well, I had never heard of him until I started doing research for today's show. Curtis Jones was, I can call him maybe a blues piano player type, and he wrote the song, Highway 51 Blues. And if you've never heard Curtis Jones, and you're only familiar with the Bob Dylan version of Highway 51 Blues, well, I think this is time. It's time you hear Curtis Jones with me for I'm hearing it for the third time. You're gonna hear it for the first time. Here's Curtis Jones playing Highway 51 Blues.
Forgive me, honey, for all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, honey, for all the wrong I've done. I don't want nobody to come for me when I start on Highway 51. If I should die, baby, before my time. If I should die, baby, before my time, lay my body on 51 Highway, that's down below the Frisco line.
It's so cool to hear the original artist play the song that you've heard covered before. Now, on my very first trip through Bob Dylan's first album, I thought that Bob Dylan wrote Highway 51 Blues, and I just carried about my day, my life, not thinking anything of it. But then, like I said, researching today's episode, I found out, holy smokes, this was written by somebody else, and it exposed me to a whole new artist, which I'm super excited about, and I hope you are too. Let's move on to number four, the fourth song that I want to sink in today, and that song is entitled You're No Good, originally written by Jesse Fuller, and yes, this picture indicates that he is indeed a one-man band. He's a 12-string slinger, and he has this contraption that I'm assuming is a bass, but holy smokes, I don't know what kind of car he traveled in, because how do you fit that thing in a car? Anyways, that's not the point. Jesse Fuller originally wrote You're No Good. I had never heard of Jesse Fuller before, I thought Bob Dylan wrote You're No Good. In fact, it was a track that I really enjoyed off of Bob Dylan's first album. Come to find out, it's written by Jesse Fuller. Jesse Fuller is this awesome musician. Now, I can't necessarily feature You're No Good played by Jesse Fuller or Bob Dylan because of copyright issues, but we are going to look at one of Jesse Fuller's songs because he is an artist that I think you absolutely need to know about. This song is called Railroad Blues, and let's have a listen.
Ring your bell, blow your whistle, engineer. Oh, ring your bell, blow your whistle, engineer. Pull on that throttle, take me on away.
So cool to hear the original artist play that song. I mean, that's a song I associated straight ahead with Bob Dylan. And then I find out, holy smokes, there's this other artist behind it. So it was so cool to discover the fact that Jesse Fuller actually wrote that song, and he's a pretty darn good musician as well. Now, don't worry, the trip through Bob Dylan's first album is not over. On this week's Acoustic Tuesday episode, we're going to continue the journey through Bob Dylan's first album. We're also going to head down to Las Vegas and visit a beautiful Brazilian rosewood guitar, and you'll have a chance to tap into your own guitar heroes. That's all coming up right after this.
I'm Tony Policastro, and this is the Acoustic Tuesday Show. Guitar geeks, unite.
Welcome to Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 138. This is the show where you're going to learn about acoustic guitar gear, discover acoustic artists, and get inspired to live your very best acoustic life. As with all episodes of Acoustic Tuesday, I'm going to share with you my guitar geek list for the week. And this week, I'm pumped because it includes Bob Dylan, a Brazilian rosewood guitar, and guitar heroes. What more could you ask for? But before we continue down the guitar geek list, I have to ask you your guitar geek trivia question. And if you're thinking, I already know what the subject of this guitar geek trivia question is, you're probably on the right track. Yes, the subject of this week's trivia question is Bob Dylan, of course. So here is your trivia question. Which network TV show was Bob Dylan scheduled to perform on, but instead ended up walking out and canceling his performance? Was it A, The Ed Sullivan Show, B, The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson, C, The Dick Cavett Show, or D, The Merv Griffin Show? Go ahead and ponder that, and at the end of the show, I'll be sure to give you the answer. This is a hard show. Saying Bob Dylan seems simple, but when you pair it with other words, it turns into Dillion and other things, and I'll try not to make those mistakes as we go further, but hey, you know, I can't guarantee anything. Let's sink into the third song that I want to target. It's, in fact, one of my favorite songs off of Bob Dylan's first album. In fact, I'm looking at my notes right now, and I'm noticing that these next three songs involve a death theme. This is not conscious, it just laid out that way, and I'm noticing it. I feel like the stars are aligning for us guitar geeks. So the third song I want to sink into is entitled In My Time of Dying. This song is stunning on Bob Dylan's first album, but it's even more stunning when you trace it back to the original artist, who is Blind Willie Johnson. Yes, in fact, I thought Bob Dylan conveyed this amazing passion with this song and all of this emotion, and he did. I don't want to discount that. However, when you listen to Blind Willie Johnson's version, you're like teleported into another dimension, Now, because Blind Willie Johnson is an amazing artist, I wanted to feature another song by Blind Willie Johnson entitled The Soul of a Man. Now, this song, you're going to hear his voice, and it's going to send shivers up and down your spine. It is that powerful. All right, here it is, The Soul of a Man.
I'm going to ask the question. Please answer if you can. Is there anybody sure and can tell me? Said, what is the soul of a fellow? What somebody tell me? Answer if you can. I want somebody to tell me. Said, what is the soul of a man? I traveled different countries. I've traveled in forest land. I've found nobody could tell me. Tell the word about the soul of a man. When I want somebody, tell me. Answer if you can. I want somebody to tell me. Tell the word of the soul of a man. I saw a crowd stand talking. I just came up in time.
Do you see what I'm talking about? I mean, that voice, it just cuts right through, and it's all emotion and it's all passion. And I think that's what Bob Dylan was trying to convey in his cover of In My Time of Dying. Now, speaking of death and other things, that brings us to the second song, the song in the number two position that I want to focus on off of Bob Dylan's very first album. And that is a song called Fixin' to Die. Now, this song, in and of itself, when I heard it for the first time off of Bob Dylan's first album. Now, let me paint the scene for you, because I was in college. I was probably 19 at this point. I heard this song, Fixin' to Die, and I was riveted, because it feels like Bob Dylan has he's just basically transformed, and he's just like pouring out all the emotion, pouring out all the feelings. So hearing this song on that album, it was one that I would just go back to. And I would keep going back to it. It's a fantastic song. But to my chagrin, is that the right word? I think maybe we'll use it. We'll go for it. To my chagrin, it was not written by Bob Dylan. It was written by Booker White. And I was stunned to find this out. I think I knew this all along, but maybe it didn't fully sink in. Well, obviously, I didn't learn it until much later, after my first listening to the album. But again, upon doing research for this show, I found out it's written by Booker White. I was stunned. Booker White is an acoustic guitar player you need to know about. He has a distinct style. He has a distinct voice, one that literally, I think, could quite possibly raise the dead. Honestly, I'm just going to go ahead and say that. So you might be thinking I'm crazy, but that's okay. You can be the judge for yourself. Let's listen to Booker White playing the song, The New Frisco Train. Here it is.
Hey, Frisco train, I'm doing my getting gone.
I told you going to do that, boy. Ain't none of these Mississippi guys. They don't love you, man, boy.
See, the thing with Booker White is he has this really distinct style. He really I want to say like assaults the guitar, but that's not the right term. He has this way of playing the guitar that not only does his voice convey passion, his playing does as well. It's this perfect combination. He's an artist you need to know, and well, obviously, he inspired Bob Dylan as well. So let's move on to the first song in the countdown. Yes, coming in at the number one position, the song that I really want to sink into because, well, this song means a lot to me because I've heard it in so many different genres. Yes, I mean, this is a genre blasting type of song, but let's start with Bob Dylan's cover. So the song is See That My Grave Is Kept Clean. not originally written by Bob Dylan, but originally written by Blind Lemon Jefferson. Fantastic finger picker, fantastic country blues artist, and yes, his first name was really Lemon. Now, check this out. This particular song has been covered in so many different genres, I thought to myself, oh gosh, which version am I going to actually use during the Acoustic Tuesday show? And I just couldn't pick a version. There's Lightning Hopkins. He plays an awesome version of it. Kelly Joe Phelps plays a great version of it. I've heard it in the bluegrass realm as well. But then I thought, no. The focus here is Blind Lemon Jefferson. So let's listen to Blind Lemon Jefferson play the song One Dime Blues. You get a sense of his guitar style. You get a sense of his voice and his overall, well, just plain awesomeness. Here he is.
I'm broken, ain't got a dime. I'm broke, I ain't got a dime. I'm broke, ain't got a dime. Everybody gets it hard sometimes. I was standing on East Cairo Street one day. One dime was all I had. Mama, don't treat your daughter mean. Mama, don't treat your daughter mean.
It's no doubt that Bob Dylan was inspired by Blind Lemon Jefferson. In fact, if you want a quick rundown of the songs we looked at and the artists that were responsible for them, let's go ahead and do that right now. The first song we looked at was Song to Woody, inspired by Woody Guthrie. Next was Highway 51 Blues, and that was originally written by Curtis Jones. Next, we listened to You're No Good, originally written by Jesse Fuller, fantastic 12-string guitar player. Next, we moved to In My Time of Dying. That was originally written by Blind Willie Johnson, an artist that you must check out. Next, we moved to Fixin' to Die, and that was originally written by Booker White, another great guitar player, another great bluesman that you need to hear. You need to own his albums. Holy smokes. There's a John Fahey tie in there. I don't have time to make all the tie-ins. And then lastly, we most recently looked at See That My Grave Is Kept Clean, originally written by Blind Lemon Jefferson, covered by Bob Dylan, and a whole bunch of other people. So, yes, I just want to say this definitively, that Bob Dylan's first album is by far my favorite album by Bob Dylan. And I'll tell you why, the whole term song thief comes up, okay? I don't want to stir up any controversy. Maybe I do. No, I don't really. So Bob Dylan's first album is one that holds a very special place in my heart because I was getting into acoustic guitar right at the time I listened to this album, but more so, it features an early 20s Bob Dylan coming into the recording studio for probably the first time, maybe not quite the first time, but very early on in his career. And he is just trying to make his stamp on the folk world. And and you can hear it in his voice in every song. You can hear it in the songs that he selected. And that's the thing that I find most striking. Do I think he's a song thief? Do I think he stole these songs? Absolutely not. But follow me down this little train of thought. I think Bob Dylan choosing these songs for his very first album is a way to honor the artists that inspired him. Nowadays, it's easy to go to any band or any artist's website, buy a CD, buy an album, buy a t-shirt, and wear that t-shirt around and kind of claim your identity as a fan of that artist. I don't think that was necessarily the full-on case in 1962. You could go online and buy a shirt. In fact, I don't think they were even selling a lot of merch at shows in the 60s. So in this case, Bob Dylan takes that feeling of inspiration, that feeling of identity that he's actually been able to claim through these artists, and he said, you know what, I'm going to honor these folks by covering their songs and furthering their message on my album. That's how I think Bob Dylan approached this. Now, this is pure speculation. It could be completely not true. This is just my opinion, but I'd like to think that this was Bob Dylan's way of saying, hey, Thanks, everybody that came before, for making these incredible songs. I'm going to carry them forward, much like the folk tradition does. So that's my take on Bob Dylan's first album. What is your take? Did I miss any crucial tracks that have a distinct influencer that I needed to have on this countdown? Go ahead and leave it in the comments below. Or is there a story behind one of those songs that you know that I didn't share? If that's the case, go ahead and leave it in the comments below. I know that Bob Dylan fans are rabid, and I know that they like to do deep dives as much as I do. So if you know facts that I don't off of Bob Dylan's first album, plunk them in the comments below. It'll make great, great conversation for a future episode of Acoustic Tuesday. Now I'm going to carry on our guitar geek journey today. Oh, and by the way, before I move on to this next segment, if you want to do a deep dive on any of those artists I mentioned, please visit acousticlife.tv/AT138. You'll be able to see those performances in their entirety, and also I'll be able to put the true Bob Dylan versions up because I don't have to worry about copyright stuff. So keep that in mind. Visit acousticlife.tv/AT138 if you want to continue on that deep dive. All right, let's keep going down our Guitar Geek list for the day. And here on my itinerary, it says we need to visit Las Vegas. We just need to get out of the cold Bozeman air. We need to go down to Las Vegas and take a look at a beautiful Loudon F50. This Loudon F50 is breathtaking in looks. It's breathtaking in sound. And I'll tell you the reason why it's breathtaking. It's understated. It features primo tone woods, but it's not all gaudy. It's just beautiful to look at. And I'm not going to do it justice, but Brendan will. So let's go say hi to Brendan in Las Vegas at Heartbreaker Guitars for the Heartbreaker of the Month. Take it away, Brendan.
What you're hearing there is the unmistakable tone of Brazilian Rosewood by George Loudon Guitars. Tony, what's going on? It's Brendan and Toby from Heartbreaker Guitars in the Heartbreaker Lounge bringing to you the Heartbreaker of the Month. And Tony, we got a doozy for you and everybody today. This is the Loudon F50C with Adirondack Spruce over Brazilian Rosewood. Okay, Tony, so what we got going on here is an Adirondack spruce top. This is an oak sound hole rosette right here. This is quite beautiful, specific to the 50 series. And this is Brazilian rosewood. Look at the straight grain on that. Mahogany neck, ebony board. It's got a mahogany soundbox bevel. Anyway, Mike is going to give us another sound sample on this F50C, so let's check it out. Okay, Tony, Acoustic Tuesday geeks, guys, thank you so much for watching the Heartbreaker of the Month. That was the Loudon F50C Brazilian Rosewood. We will see you next month. Thanks, Tony.
Welcome back from Las Vegas. Hopefully your trip went okay. Your digital trip, your safe digital trip there. What a stunning guitar. I think it's beautiful. I think it's pristine. The sound is clear. It has this articulation. It has this frostiness to it. The Brazilian Rosewood adds all this depth. Oh, it's gorgeous. But I want to know what you think of the guitar. In the comments below, let me know. Did you love it? Did you hate it? Were you like, meh? Or were you like me and just drooling all over yourself trying to find words to convey what it sounds like? Whatever the case may be, let me know in the comments below. I would love to hear your thoughts on that guitar. And speaking of comments, let's time warp back to episode 136 where we talked about Tony Rice. I want to feature some comments from that show because as is par for the course, there are like beautiful conversations happening in the comments. I love it. The artist suggestions, just the overall kindness and support you guitar geeks give one another while you're watching the Acoustic Tuesday show and even beyond is so inspiring. I just wanted to read a few of the comments because, well, they're just downright fun. Our first comment comes from Jonathan Toddy, and he says this: I love Tony Rice. This show was great. Thinking about Canadian guitarists made me think of my favorite Canadian guitarist, Stan Rogers. You should definitely do a show about Stan sometime. Now, I've never heard of Stan Rogers, so now my guitar geek artist list is growing, and I appreciate it, Jonathan. I very much appreciate it. Now I have a new guitarist to check out, which is pretty darn exciting. So thanks for watching, and thanks for commenting. Our next comment comes from Mexi Chris, and he says this: Damn, I want a Jim Croce episode now, ASAP. Huge factor in my childhood memories and those long car rides filled with anger and joy. Yet Jim Croce always made things better or mellowed them out. Thanks for the consistent content and knowledge. Chris, you hit the nail on the head here. You made me think of one of my own childhood memories. My family was staunch in not flying anywhere. My dad didn't like to fly. There was myself, and I have two older brothers, Nick and Mike, and we had this old blue Oldsmobile station wagon. And we would always come out west for our vacations every single summer. Go to Custer's Battlefield, visit Yellowstone, the whole deal. And I would sit in the middle of the station wagon, and my brothers would elbow me. And it would be just pure misery because it'd be hot. But one of the things that stands out is my dad had this box of tapes. They were yellow Maxell tapes, you know, the kind that you could record at home. And what my dad would do is he would record basically mixtapes, but full albums on these tapes. And one of the ones that stood out to me was Dan Fogelberg's High Country Snows. And I distinctly remember sitting in the back seat of this station wagon, crushed between my brothers, listening to the music and thinking, this is a very young Tony, by the way, thinking, man, the only thing that's neat right now is the music. Nothing else is neat. The heat's not neat. My brother's elbowing me and fighting over me is not neat. And sitting in the car for hours at a time is not neat. The only thing that's neat right now is Dan Fogelberg. So your Jim Croce memory queued that up in my mind. And I just wanted to share that fun story with all of you. Because I don't really know why. It was a childhood memory, and I just started walking down that path. I'll bring the train back on the rails now. Let's go to our next comment from Klang Schaefer. Hi Tony, Dom here from Germany. I also have a Firk Little Jane since 2017, and it's a really nice and loud sounding little instrument. USA, Spain, Italy, Austria, Egypt, can't travel without it. High-end craftsmanship and wonderful sound. Thank you for that amazing show with interesting content every week. See you next Tuesday, Dom. Thanks so much for watching, Dom. And cheers to Germany. Hopefully you're happy, healthy, and safe. And so cool to get the feedback on the Firk Little Jane. The first time I saw it disassembled was during episode 136 when Brendan at Heartbreaker Guitars did a news segment on it, on Firk in general. And I'm watching him disassemble the little Jane, and I'm like, the headstock comes off? I never saw that before. So I was impressed, and it definitely piqued my curiosity. Our next comment comes from PB Santos, and he says this: Hi Tony, thanks for showing my guitar gratitude vid. Cringe. No cringing, it was awesome, Brian. I really appreciate you sharing it. He goes on to say this: Something very important I forgot to mention is that it was my older brother Dean who prompted me to learn to play when I was 15. Playing guitar brought me out of my timid teenage shell. My brother and I have shared a special bond ever since, even over long distances, living an acoustic family life from a young age. What an awesome addition to your guitar gratitude, Brian. Thank you so much for sharing this. And it definitely goes along the lines of talking about guitar heroes and influences today. So again, I think the stars are just aligning perfectly for us guitar geeks. So cool that your brother got you into playing, and it kind of started this lifelong bond. I mean, as brothers, you know, you're generally bonded, but when it becomes deeper like that, when you can share this common hobby, this thing that brings you joy, it's so special. So thanks so much, Brian, for shedding some more light on your guitar gratitude. And speaking of guitar gratitude, we've got one from James Morrison in text form. Hashtag guitar gratitude. Tony, spend as much time as you can with your dad. I lost my dad in the early 90s. He was such an influence on my music. We had a country rock variety band for about 10 years. I find myself playing and sometimes relearning songs we used to play. It's almost like he's still here. I will always be grateful and love him forever. Keep the shows coming and cheers. Well, cheers to you, James, and thank you for sharing that little slice of wisdom there. Sorry to hear about your father, but thank you so much for sharing what you shared. It's extremely impactful, and it just goes to show that those little moments of magic we experience with the guitar, hold on to those because they're so, so special. And it's one of those things is we can go back to those memories time and time again. We can play those songs, and then it'll give us that little glimmer of a memory that something magical happened. It's just so cool, that effect that music has. It's truly awesome. And again, thank you so much for sharing that, James. Very much appreciate it. And thanks to everybody who left comments on episode number 136 and all the episodes for that matter. Like I said, this community of guitar geeks that gathers here to watch the Acoustic Tuesday show every Tuesday is really a special group. It's all about encouraging. It's all about supporting one another, helping each other live out our guitar dream scenes, helping each other really achieve our guitar goals. And you do such a wonderful job of that in the comments, maybe unknowingly, even just saying, hey, that's an awesome artist. Thanks for turning me on to that. You know, in the comments below, it's so cool to see. So thank you, everybody who participates and engages with this show. And I do want you to know you can support the Acoustic Tuesday show at acoustictuesday.store. In fact, while you're at that digital store, acoustictuesday.store, I want you to find yourself the Guitarsonal shirt. I want you to pick out your favorite color, get the size that fits you best, and order the Guitarsonal shirt. That's step one. Step two is to put that Guitarsonal shirt on, gather all your guitars together, and take a picture amongst all of your guitars. And the final step, if you want to be included on a future Acoustic Tuesday episode, is to submit your Guitarsonal picture at acousticlife.tv. Sorry about that. Submit your Guitarsonal picture at acousticlife.tv. There's a submit link in the top menu. You can go ahead and click on that, upload your picture, give us a list of all the guitars featured, and tell us a little story about yourself and how your guitar collection grew to be so large. Or maybe it's a very refined guitar collection that you want to describe. Whatever the case may be, please submit it at acousticlife.tv. I would love to feature more Guitarsonals in upcoming episodes of Acoustic Tuesday. Now, moving on to a segment that is relatively new to the show, but one that I now look at it and I think to myself, why hasn't this always been a part of the Acoustic Tuesday show? And if you thought to yourself, is it the Guitar Gratitude segment? Well, you thought right if you thought that thought. Yes, it is the Guitar Gratitude segment. A second for us guitar geeks to take pause, look back at our guitar journey and say, gosh, I'm grateful for all this amazing stuff the guitar has brought into my life. Maybe I met my spouse because of the guitar. Maybe I formed a lifelong friendship with somebody that I wouldn't have met if it wouldn't have been for the guitar. Maybe it's just for the guitar itself. Maybe the guitar has empowered you to be more confident or do things that you never thought you could do before, but the guitar somehow weaseled its way into your life and made you realize that you are capable of being a guitar player. Whatever the case may be, that falls under the category of guitar gratitude, and I want you to share that with your fellow guitar geeks. In fact, I'll tell you how to share that with your fellow guitar geeks here in just a moment, but let's get inspired by some of our fellow Acoustic Tuesday viewers. First, let's visit Marlana S. and see what she has to say about her guitar and why she's grateful for its presence in her life. Here she is.
Hi, I'm Marlana, and I have to say that I'm very grateful for my guitar. I came from a family that loved music. My mother sang opera, my father played the piano, and my brothers played trumpet and trombone. And I, of course, had to learn the piano too, but I wanted a guitar. And at the age of 12, I didn't know anybody who played, but my parents bought me a Sears Special. My father had adjusted the bridge on it and put a little piece of paper in there so that I could adjust the action on it because it was super high. But anyway, I used that instrument and played nearly my whole life, off and on. Sometimes I'd set it aside. I used it to get me through times of my life that were difficult. And I wrote a lot of music. And And I've used that to make little albums, and just if nothing else, it's for myself, and I have shared it with a lot of family and friends. But I just want to thank Tony for this opportunity to be a part of the tech community. It's a wonderful place. I love all you guys. You're just amazing. Anyway, I just wanted to thank you for everything. And I am grateful to be able to play the guitar and learn. So thank you so much.
I love Marlana. I've had the distinct pleasure of meeting Marlana in person, and she brings the best attitude I've ever seen. She's smiling. She's happy when she's playing. I've never seen her playing guitar without a smile on her face. She has this bubbly personality, and it's just contagious. Her enthusiasm is contagious, and it was so touching to hear her guitar gratitude and that it's really kind of a family thing for her. And I love that. And I love that it's made a presence in her life and forged a positive path for her. So it's so cool. Thank you so much for sharing that, Marlana. Let's now move to California and visit Jumpin' Jeff S., where he is sharing his guitar gratitude. Here he is.
Hey, guitar gratitude. How does guitar help me today? So today, because I'm an old dude with a secondary issue, I'm on home confinement. So it's helped me to while away the hours happily and joyfully. In the broader sense, acoustic guitar has given me the ability to find a new way to communicate with a whole new group of people that I never thought I would ever meet. You don't know what you don't know, but through playing guitar, I've been able to connect with people all over the world, actually. And I found a way to have these conversations that don't involve words.
Thanks so much for sharing that, Jeff. So cool to see and hear you be grateful for your guitar and hear that it's allowed you to connect with people that you otherwise would have never even met in the first place. So cool. The guitar is such a powerful tool. Well beyond its music creation capabilities, it really creates connection. And that's something that I just am impressed and stunned by every time I see what the guitar does between two people, between many people. It's a pretty special thing. We're part of a pretty special group here, us guitar geeks, and I'm pretty proud of that. Now, if you want to share your guitar gratitude, I want to encourage you to do so. It's super easy. All you have to do is visit guitargratitude.com. When you go to that page, you'll be prompted to submit a video, and you can do it right there on that page. You click one button, it starts a countdown, and then you film your guitar gratitude. You actually sit there in front of your computer and say, hey, you know, the guitar is a special instrument, and I am so grateful for its presence in my life. It's brought me my spouse. I never would have met my spouse without if it weren't for the guitar. That's actually, I keep bringing that up because it's kind of true in my case. Maybe I'll share that story a little bit later. But I digress. It's really easy to submit a video. Just go to guitargratitude.com. It does all the work for you. Click one button. It goes ahead and turns your camera on and records your video. And it's super easy because you can actually take notes and put them on the screen right there while you're filming so you don't forget anything. And if you don't like your video, you can just hit delete and just try it again. It's actually really simple. If I can do it, you can do it. It takes less than 60 seconds, and it will inspire your fellow guitar geeks to get a little bit introspective themselves and feel what they're grateful for with the guitar. So again, that's guitargratitude.com. Please go there and submit your video today. And I'll include those on a future episode of Acoustic Tuesday. Now, before I wrap up the show, we do have your trivia question that I want to get to, your Bob Dylan-infused trivia question, that is. But I just wanted to take a second and highlight a theme that's kind of been happening in today's episode. I've been talking a lot about influences, and we can call them guitar heroes, if you will. We talked about Bob Dylan's first album, and he chose these six artists that inspired him, and as a way of honoring them, he included them on this first album. And then we heard it right there in the comments from episode 136 that, you know, James Morrison shared some great guitar gratitude for his dad being a guitar hero of his, and then for Brian, his brother Dean, being a guitar hero of his. I just want you for 1 second to think about your top three guitar heroes. Who are they? And more importantly, why are they your guitar heroes? Now, when you think of guitar heroes, I think the common image is somebody up on stage, somebody that's quote unquote famous. I want to just take that criteria and throw it out. Okay, I want you to identify three guitar heroes that are unique to you and that means something to you. These could be family members, childhood friends. These could be adult friends. These could be famous artists if you consider them guitar heroes, if they've impacted your guitar journey in such a way that makes you inspired, that makes you want to keep going forward and progress and have fun. Those are the guitar heroes I want you to identify. In fact, I would encourage you right now in the comments below to just list your three guitar heroes. I would love to mention them on a future Acoustic Tuesday episode. In fact, just to kick things off, I want to share with you my three guitar heroes. My number one guitar hero is my dad. My dad got me interested in the guitar. He taught me a whole bunch of chords and kind of really lit the fire. He ignited this guitar geek passion in me and continues to feed that fire. It's so cool how the guitar has brought my dad and I really, really close, closer than normal. And like I said in my guitar gratitude a couple episodes back, we were already pretty close, but the guitar keeps bringing us closer, which is so awesome. My next guitar hero is Kelly Joe Phelps. Now, I've never met Kelly Joe Phelps, but I have watched, I'm pretty sure, every live video on YouTube from his career in music, and I just am always enthralled at his performances, how captivating they are, how somebody can be so in the moment with their music, with the song, with their instrument. It's like nothing else is going on, and he is just hypnotized by the guitar. I find great inspiration in just even seeing that visually, let alone hearing the amazing music that he's capable of making. And then my third guitar hero, this one is a famous one, but it's tied together with my dad, so I wanted to include Johnny Winter on the list because Johnny Winter is a guitar hero of mine. He was my first guitar hero, the guy that I looked up to and thought, man, I really want to play. I want to play just like Johnny Winter. So those are my three. My father, Kelly Joe Phelps, and Johnny Winter. Those are the three that come to mind, at least right now. So please leave yours in the comments below. I would love to hear who your guitar heroes are. Again, this could be a family member. It could be a childhood friend. It could be an adult friend. It could be, you know, that person at the music store right down the street. Or it could be somebody famous that you look up to. There's no rules with guitar heroes. I just want you to share somebody that inspires you to have fun and continue to seek out progress on the guitar. Go ahead and leave those in the comments below. I would love to, like I said, read those on a future episode of Acoustic Tuesday. And just real quickly, I want to remind you all that if you want to do a deep dive on anything I've featured today, be it Bob Dylan's first album and the artist that inspired him, be it Heartbreaker Guitars and that beautiful Loudon F50 we looked at, or if it's just guitar heroes in general, I'm going to make a list at acousticlife.tv/AT138. You can go there to check it out and do a deep dive on anything I've featured in today's episode. All right, I think we're about ready to wrap the show up, but prior to doing so, we have to conclude an important business item. Yes, this is getting serious, folks. It's Guitar Geek Trivia. We have to wrap up with your Guitar Geek Trivia question answered. And I will, of course, remind you of the question. If you're curious, of course, it surrounds Bob Dylan and an interesting incident that happened very early on in his career. So let me go ahead and read that question for you. Which network TV show was Bob Dylan scheduled to perform on, but instead ended up walking out and canceling his performance? Was it A, The Ed Sullivan Show, B, The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson, C, The Dick Cavett Show, or D, The Merv Griffin Show? Well, if you answered A, The Ed Sullivan Show, you are correct. In the infancy of his fame, Dylan was booked to appear on Ed Sullivan's famous variety show. He wanted to play his politically charged song, John Birch Paranoid Blues, which Sullivan and his producer approved the day before his live appearance. However, the day of, CBS staff asked him to play a more friendly song. Dylan opted to snub the show, which created a frenzy in the news. Dylan gained an even greater reputation as someone who sticks to his principles. A pretty awesome factoid. And something that I thought was interesting was that even early on, when he didn't necessarily have a huge name for himself, I'm not saying that he wasn't popular, I'm saying that he wasn't as popular maybe as he is today, that he was like, no, I have the integrity as an artist to not play what you want. I want to play what I want. And if you don't like that, I'm out. I'm out, Mr. Ed and your CBS staff. Very cool to find that out. And makes me respect Bob Dylan even more. I always thought he was an artist that stuck to his guns pretty well. All right, well, since we've wrapped this week's show of Acoustic Tuesday, we should look into our crystal ball, or maybe, do they do coffee readings where you put, like, spices in coffee? I could maybe learn how to do that. I'm going to take a quick swig. Yep, that's given me the power to see in the future. Let's take a sneak peek into next week to see what's going to happen on Acoustic Tuesday. Next week on Acoustic Tuesday, there will be a guitar battle between Canada and U.S. Yes, Canadian luthiers versus U.S. luthiers. A serious battle. But that seems like crazy. That would be like a 10-hour-long show. We're going to target one luthier on the Canadian side and one luthier on the United States side. And we're going to pit those two against one another. Who are they? Well, coming in for Canada is Boucher Guitars, and coming in for the U.S. is Bourgeois Guitars. Holy smokes. And check this out. We're going to pick one specific model. It might be a 12-fret cutaway guitar that we're going to pit these two against one another on. It's going to be an awesome episode. I'm going to present you with the guitars. I'm going to do reviews, and you're going to help me decide who the winner is. Along with that, there will be other fun shenanigans that happen pretty regularly on the Acoustic Tuesday show. So make sure to tune in for that. If you're wondering when to tune in, don't worry, it's easy to remember. You can catch Acoustic Tuesday every single Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time here on YouTube. And of course, for your Acoustic Tuesday fix in between Tuesdays, please visit acousticlife.tv, where you can do a deep dive on anything I've ever featured on any Acoustic Tuesday show. Thank you so much for sharing your time with me today. Thank you so much for being a guitar geek. And remember, guitar geeks unite. Cheers, and I'll see you next Tuesday.